Job security. Good morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, October 26, 2017. It is 9 a.m. This is the Joseph County Board of Commissioners convening for a county administrative workshop. We have a pretty light agenda. We're going to get through it as expeditiously as possible, as I'm going to be here for about 45 minutes or so. So, department business update. We've got forestry and two items, the Rock Creek Hardwood Timber Sale Contract 2016-T-9 modification number between Josephine County and Greg Lyles Logging LLC. And the second one is 3 Mill Timber Sale Contract 2013-T-1 modification number 3 between Josephine County and James M. and Clinton Croft Logging. First one is a time extension to 18?
Yes, both of them are requests for time extensions. Rock Creek Hardwood would be until August 15th of next year, and the 3 Mill Timber Sale would be extended until the end of September of next year, which is essentially the end of the harvest season next year. Both purchasers requested the extensions in writing. Mr. Lyles, his sale is a cable harvest unit, and because of level 3 and level 4 this summer, he wasn't able to get up in there and fall timber on a 3 and then couldn't do anything on a 4.
So that seems reasonable because the contract just started in 16, but the other one's starting in 13. What are the extenuating circumstances?
So the Crofts were logging on the salvage the whole time for 3 years on the salvage after purchasing the 3 Mill sale.
So these are green trees.
Yes, it was extended by my predecessor, and we extended it again last year on Mod 2. Unfortunately, the 3 Mill road had the bridge blowout on it, and then that had to get replaced this spring and stuff, so they had some delays associated with that. Both of these sales are what I would call small logger sales, in which the county gets paid after the material gets delivered to the facilities, and I do not account for the dollars in my budget for these. I primarily do the larger sales as income, and this is kind of bonus money as it comes in. They don't cause us any heartburn. Just kind of keeping them happy and keeping them going.
I think working with these small timber purchasers is a real important thing.
Do they gain in value? Because the purchase from 2012 to 2018 is 6 years. Did they grow any?
Even if they grow, they're scaled sales. So if they grow, it's in our benefit. As it gets delivered, it gets scaled.
They didn't scale it.
They purchased it by the thousand. So today, if they purchased it and there was 1,000 board feet out there, they would pay X. If it grew and there were 2,000 board feet out there, they'd pay 2X. So it's proportional.
They pay what's delivered to the mill site or
whatever. Yes. Okay, and all of our contracts work that way. Okay. They're all scaled sale. It's less risk to the purchaser. So when they're doing an appraisal and they've got that little thing at the end called profit and risk, we want to reduce as much risk as possible so that they can pay as much as possible for the stump. It's the other alternative is going lump sum, which is pay us the dollars for what you think is there. And then, of course, if you had delays like this, you could certainly put in growth or contract odds.
When you have a sale like this and there's hardwoods on there, what do they do with that?
So they wouldn't be necessarily harvesting hardwoods except for the Rock Creek one, and they're required to yard it, but they're not required to remove it. So if they don't want to remove it, it's left in the landing for us to burn later on. If they do want to remove it, then they have to pay for it.
Or we can open it up for other people who are looking.
I was going to say, can you sell the firewood permits or something for that?
Yes.
We do. He sells a lot of those.
Yes. Okay. Both commercial and public firewood permits, yes.
But this first one is a commercial hardwood. So we've done 300 cords one time. And it was like a $17,000, contract. It doesn't sound like a lot of money. It's a lot of work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good for them, though, if they can clear out a portion of ground that we can put back in conifers, that the next time it'll be a, mm-hmm. softwood sale.
And that particular sale was actually one that was up on the burn where we had most of the hardwood was dead. There was very scattered conifer in it. So we laid out about a 30 or 40 acre unit, regened it, and got all the hardwood and the conifer off and try and get it reestablished to more of a straight conifer stand.
These kinds of amendments are things that we'd ideally like to see in our contracts going forward, that the director has the authority to extend. I mean, a bridge out, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, just...
And if you said, well, the bridge is out so you could go around, but that's going to add to his travel.
If you can go around.
If you can go around. So.
A lot of these are...
Can these go to...
dead end. These are consent.
Consent calendar?
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Mr. Streeter.
You bet. You don't need me to come and present or anything?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Item number B, 1. Two new position additions in county legal counsel, paralegal and legal secretary. Item number B2 is resolution 2017-049 in the matter of dealing with workers' compensation coverage for sheriff's department volunteers. Item number 1.
I saw he wore your tie.
No. Hurry up, JJ.
All right. How's it going, Commissioner?
He's got somewhere to be.
All right, so item number 1 is just a pretty simple.
Yes,
I know. This is my anti-Simon tie. It's also my anti-sheriff tie. He's not a big fan of the ducks as well.
That's not the chair and the sheriff. I would feel like those are two
important people to keep having.
Whatever.
Well, you know, I like to poke the bear, which is clearly not a reflection of my intelligence.
Poke the bear. Get her done.
So the item number 1, legal has been recruiting for their law clerk position, which is paralegal / law library. In reviewing the applicants, they just didn't find anyone that was a real good fit in their with their skill set when it came to the legal research, basically. So what they'd like to do is reorganize a little bit. It's a cost-neutral decision. They'd like to have a full-time paralegal and then have their legal secretary be a split position where it's legal secretary / law library. So basically it's the same salary of the two positions will continue to be the same salary. They'll just reorganize the structure a little bit. But ultimately, those are job description changes, and those have to come before the board.
So when at the end of the day, we're still getting one more person that would have been a law library / paralegal. Now it's just going to be a paralegal, and then the secretary is going to split upstairs.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's an internal person who actually has the skill set to do the paralegal, and then they'll repost for the legal secretary / law library.
So the legal secretary is the one that's costing more than ISF.
The
addition that's not...
Well, both of these are existing positions in the previous budget. They're not additions to the budget. We've had law clerk and legal secretary in this year's budget and last year's budget, so they're not additions. The addition was the attorney.
So this is just changing who's doing what, but it's the same two positions.
Yes.
Okay.
And as I said, it's a budget neutral decision. The salaries are not changing as it relates. I mean, the job duties are changing a bit, but the one position is still in NU11, one's still in NU9. NU9. So budgetarily, it's a wash. It's just changing the job descriptions to alter who does what. So, assuming the board is okay with the job description changes, this will allow us to move forward, you know, put it forward to next week, and then post the...
I don't understand how there isn't an additional position here. And we didn't have that in the budget last year. I'm confused here, because this isn't what this is fine, but this is not the same thing that we had before. I mean, we're adding a position. I understand the law library and the clerk, and that job description being...
So in this year's budget, you have legal counsel, you have assistant legal counsel, you have law clerk, legal secretary, and legal administrator. That's
right.
The whole staff.
Right.
We've added another attorney, which is legal assistant 2,
right.
And that's the new thing, which isn't, you know, we've already addressed that, we've already posted for it.
Right.
So the law clerk and the legal secretary already existed. We're just changing the nature of who does what within those two positions.
So the law clerk currently is a part-time paralegal and a part-time law clerk.
Yes.
So you're making it you're taking the part-time paralegal and making that full-time.
Yes.
And then the legal secretary, who's currently full-time, you're essentially making part-time legal secretary, part-time law clerk, and giving the other half to the paralegal, so there's no changing.
Okay.
Yes. That's it. So it's just changing who does what.
Yep.
It's reflected in a job change.
I see.
But it's not a budgetary change. It's not an added or subtracting of a position.
That sounds fine.
So.
Item number two.
So this is just something our insurance company asks us to do, and we do it pretty much every year. The issue is we have volunteers who are covered under workers' comp, and they don't make a salary, and so we need to designate what an assumed salary would be, assuming that they have an event that qualifies. And so the standard rate that they've used for years and years is $800, because you have to have something associated with this is what the, you know, their time loss would be, assuming that they qualified for time loss.
Per month.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that just designates as such, and it's something we've done every year since we've had CIS.
No problem.
Smart.
And that's all I got.
Does this cover workman's comp coverage for volunteers anywhere or just the Sheriff's Department?
So we have
we have volunteers out at the fairgrounds. And
they don't qualify for workers' comp. The only ones that qualify for workers' comp is search and rescue and
Sheriff's Reserves.
Sheriff's Reserves. And so those positions qualify for workers' comp. The others are covered under a supplemental insurance through the Hartford, which is a medical only. But it doesn't cover actual workman's comp.
Okay.
So it's a specific group of volunteers that this covers.
Item number one is an administrative, and it shouldn't say additions. It should say changes, perhaps. Item number two is a consent calendar item.
That threw me as well when it said two new position additions. I thought we were hiring yet an additional secretary and an additional.
Just two position changes. Legal counsel. Great. Thanks, JJ.
Okay. Thank you.
Item number two is Information Technology Quarterly Update. We have Mr. McCafferty here.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
So what I have for you today is a follow-up on some older items and just what we're looking at for the next few months. One of our goals for the last couple of years is to get our machines just newer. We did have a lot of 6-7 year old machines and just a problem to maintain. So in the last year, since October of last year, we've installed 228 new machines. I was kind of shocked that that's how many we had done. But we had moved to those smaller format, lower energy machines, and they're working very well. So the next year, we'd like to replace an additional 172. That would mean that 400 of our machines would be less than 2 years old, which would be way, way better than we've been in the last several years. There's another 50 to 75 machines that are out there that people just won't let go of, that are proprietary. Maybe they can't be moved off of Windows 7, but we wouldn't be upgrading those. Hopefully the software dies and they move on. Yeah, we have some old software. And when planning goes to the new software, that'll be, 25 people that are not using 25-year-old technology. We have 300 Windows 10 machines that are brand new of the 228. They're Windows 10, or they were converted from Windows 7 or 8 machines. And why do we do that? Staying just behind the bleeding edge means that we're less vulnerable to bugs. Microsoft's updated. When we find a problem, it hits 50 people, not one. So if we have a bunch of different operating systems out there, then it's like a car mechanic. You've got to solve it for every different one. But when everybody's on the same machine, it's much better. Phishing. We're not having good luck with phishing exercises. And phishing is the practice of sending out an email that you click through. And often they're just spam, but sometimes they're viruses. And even Microsoft or Symantec, which is our endpoint protection, is not completely aware of every virus out there when there's a phishing email. So JJ and I talked about sending a phishing email. We did one last year, which was the infamous PERS one. but we did a more general one this time. It was easy to pick out the problem. If you see the samples there, it says, "Welcome, Josephine. has two misspellings in there. Government is misspelled. Unbelievable is misspelled. It has two links. Actually, I thought the links were really good. Chansey came up with this. People, there's a lot of news about Amazon Prime and Netflix now. It was too irresistible for some people. We had 25% of our staff, our new staff, click through. That's,
good night.
Yeah, that's not good. We even
and
had
you have the names of those employees? And
yeah,
and
HR
them
has
out
them. HR has them. And retraining is, I'm sure, in the
good
works.
Night.
I'd be happy to take part in that exercise of what are you thinking?
Even more, we had 7 of those 10 click through to the second link.
Oh, my God.
If you look at the second link, it says, unless you are certain that both the sender and contents of an email are legitimate, don't click on hyperlinks. They clicked on it. Then the last one said, I told you not to. and then they could read about phishing and why they shouldn't do it. So we've got a challenge here. We've got to figure this out.
This is easy. Tell them that they will lose their computer privileges.
They have.
And if they have to have a computer to do their job, they might want to reconsider.
Might want to reconsider clicking. We did start IT orientations. We've been working with HR over the last probably 6 orientations. Either myself or Keith come and we give a 15-minute don't click on phishing emails. This is how you use your phone. This is where your email and your P drive is and that kind of thing. It's worked for some things very well. It's obviously not working well for phishing, so we're going to get...
You know, one of the things I think that there's buy-in as far as ramifications for those who do, there is no ramifications if, you know, if an employee brings on a virus that shuts down the entire county, what are they out? Okay, well, I get a day off work because I can't work because my computer doesn't work. I don't know what there could be as far as an incentive, but you ought to know that if this happens, that's it.
It's a violation of policy. So right now we're looking at retraining, need to get ahead of this. And then I think if we have people that offend, they're violating the policy, and then that's a...
Yeah.
Well, and it needs to be written that this was a retraining as part of a progressive discipline thing. Don't do this because of that.
But it is pretty severe. I mean, it doesn't seem like it.
Can be.
Obviously.
Could be.
Little feels. But.
Ignorance is bliss. I don't click on anything.
Yeah.
Easy.
No, that's easy. Just don't click if you don't know. It's not rocket science. And this isn't even part of your job, so why... Why were you doing that in the first place, you know? So.
Yeah, it's hard. Sometimes even the best IT people that should know better.
But curiosity just
grabbed
the best of
you. You hear these things, and the people who are
guarding the hen house.
Guarding it those are the people who...
What's even worse is what they call spear phishing, where they've actually gone to your website, and they've looked and said, well, Lily Morgan is on the board at the... County. And then they see a newspaper article, and she likes golfing, and they literally will go and combine these things, and you say, oh, that's...
Got to be legit.
Got to be legit. But
how do they know me?
Yeah, yeah. Clicking is bad.
Everybody knows
I do like Bradley Putters.
There you go. There you go.
Well, good, John.
So we're also working with HR on a better onboarding process and termination online form to get people in quicker, get them out quicker if they're leaving. Right now, it sometimes takes 5 to 6 weeks to know somebody's left, especially contract workers, volunteers, that kind of thing. So we're making it as easy online so that people can just say, this person's gone, an email goes to myself and Brendan, system administrator, HR, we take care of business. So we're working on
that. We worked on that whole what happens when they're gone and their emails so that they don't just go, I mean, they always are there, but we can't have them being missed by the program, the department. That's a bad thing.
Especially when it's someone that's pretty core, you need to let the public know that this person's no longer with the company. We are pursuing a safer alternative to external email. We don't want to stop. Obviously, when people are not at work and they can get to their email, it's a good thing for the county. We have 139 current users that sync their phone with their email. It's pretty safe for the county. When you do that, I can go on to Exchange and I can delete everything off your phone. So when a phone is synced, they're getting their email. It's pretty safe. There's not a lot of viruses for cell phones, although there are. And we can take care of a lost cell phone or a stolen cell phone, that kind of thing. We also have what's called OWA, which is online mail. It's an alternative mail server. works great. It's extremely handy when you don't have a phone, you're outside the network, or you want to do some other things.
It's more stable than trying to use the VPN.
Yeah, sometimes it's, yes, because all you are is looking through a mail server. The issue is, if you are using it at home and someone loaded, downloaded a key punch program that counts your key punches, well, you've just logged on to the network with your username and password, and that's out there. It's also possible, not likely, but possible that a virus can come into the county that way. We'd like to get rid of OWA, except when someone is actually behind the firewall, because there's some things that are just handy. Your exchange could break. You're not able to use it that day, and you can get to the website if you're on the network. But so people are so used to using their phones that syncing with their email seems to work fine, and there's less issues for us. So I'm going to bring that back to the board before we change policy. But
I'm not catching what you're trying to change. You don't want them to use a phone, or you do want them to
use a phone? We want them to use a phone because we can delete it. We can catch any issues and scrape the phone. They have to know that we can do that. I don't think employees know that, at least not with any great deal.
I guess from my, since I feel that I'm on the road a lot, and I take this thing, I connect via the hotspot on my work phone.
Right.
I connect to the VPN. I cannot use Outlook.
Well, we can fix that if that's an issue.
It's still not, but even after the fixes that have been offered, it'll freeze. But if I go to the online mail, yeah. I can access it. What I find is on my phone, attachments and view is not the same necessarily, so I prefer checking on the computer because I can see the document holding
right.
And stuff. So if there's...
I understand the preference. The risk also goes with that preference.
Yeah. So does the VPN get it behind the firewall?
Yes.
So then you that's the method you would like us to use.
I would like you... the phone, using your phone to get your email is safest.
Mm-hmm.
Failing that, the VPN's fine to get to... Now, we are using remote desktop more. Have we tried remote desktop for you? All right, so...
But this is my only desktop. So when I'm remote...
You still can remote to your desktop on there. It's a virtual desktop.
Okay.
It's a replication of what you have there, which is also very safe. Oh, and we can try that. We're using that with good success.
Okay.
Just it's an out there. It's a risk. Trying to compress our risks. In the next month or so, we should have a LexisNexis crime reporting map application, just like the City of Grants Pass does.
Nice.
That allows people to click and see criminal activity out in the county. We budgeted for a storage replacement upgrade. We're narrowing it down to several vendors. We'll go through an informal bidding process sometime in December. January is we're looking at Dell equipment, and January, believe it or not, is they have sales on Dell. It's their end of year, and it's a good time to price hardware. So we're looking for that. People are watching YouTube. Not many people watch it live, but many people watch it before the next week's episode. YouTube's been a big success story. Pretty happy with it. Quality's better, sounds better. It's easier for us. And some of the marijuana meetings have been watched by several hundred people.
I watched the one, and it was so convenient to be able to have it going in the background so I could hear and I could read other things. I could work on my email and stuff. And it was so convenient, you know.
I only got two text messages saying happy birthday at the end of the meeting because people were watching live.
Oh. Only two. I thought it was good, but I don't know that we need to televise the marijuana ones anymore. Listening to them is just fine.
Okay.
So, they did a really good job of reiterating everybody who voted in one way or the other, and it was fine.
Top 10 pages, the property data search people want to know about their taxes. They want to know about their property value. It's either the jail inmate page or that's number one. But right now, and then as you read down, you see sheriff search page, treasury, planning, airport, transit, are what pages that most people want.
Yeah.
Also, it's kind of interesting that about half of our people get to our website via phone. Mm-hmm. Safari and Samsung Internet are among the higher users, although Chrome is still number one.
I was using it to show somebody a job the other day, and I am on this thing constantly going to our website, so I'm glad it works.
We will need to move to a website that's a mobile website. But
and that's on our list of that meeting when we start talking.
And last but not least, just want to let you be aware that the transitions, the additional employees is...
a workload.
It's a workload, but we're handling it. We don't anticipate that we'll need to hire any more staff. We think next year will be much better as it smooths out.
It's kind of a... once you get them in...
Through the snake, yeah.
Ideally, we're not high... They're not continuing to be high users the way they are... start.
I would, and our projects, we've gotten a lot of good cooperation. Corrections gave us $5,000 to buy new switches because 8 new people were going in there, and very helpful. We don't have a great, and I've talked to Arthur and JJ about this, we don't have a great communication network for our managers on projects that we've been going through. Our monthly meetings are, you know, they're attended by half of the managers. What I'd propose is we think about at least a quarterly update meeting where everybody has to go, department managers, supervisors, and, you know, be on topic, have these things that need to be addressed in both way. And maybe some more meetings where IT, BOM, HR are involved in planning and setup. Because sometimes we hear about things after the fact.
Absolutely. Happens all the time. And it's really not appropriate. It just draws back to another need for that core person to convene those things. And, you know, having a HR manager who's not here anymore say, really like the managers to attend something, doesn't have the same gravity that if the commissioner or that officer said, you need to be there, this is what we're doing. So we all are on the same page for these projects that you don't want to hear about them through the grapevine and then say, well, wait a second, we just got rid of this, or we missed the window to purchase those. Had I known we had blah, 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 8 more people coming in corrections, we wouldn't have missed that deadline for Intel sales, or I don't know, stuff like that. At least you'd be in the loop on it and not reassign people to projects that are like, oh, now we have people coming in and we can't do that project for the fairgrounds or the sheriff's office. Now we have to drop everything.
So
I think it's a really valid concern, and sorry that that happens.
Oh, no, no. It's only become apparent because of the amount of new projects that are
going on. I think it's not just your program either. I was talking to some other people who were like, well, these people keep asking for these services all the time, and it's really outside of what we do. And they need to be more mindful of, you know, don't tell us on a Thursday that you have a new employee coming on a Monday that needs furniture moved and stuff. All of my people are allocated to do that. I don't have the extra bandwidth to get it done, and it's the coordinated effort is really important with limited resources. So good point.
Anything for me? That's all I have for you.
Thanks.
Here, I got a funny one for you. Just logged into email. Look at my notification that popped up, the second one over here.
A PPO meeting.
Look,
156 weeks. You really should go to that meeting.
Okay. I've been having some of those in the calendar lately, so maybe I should have you guys come over and play.
Yeah.
Next, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is Public Works. I'm going to just hold off for a second. I need to figure out what's the best way to organize the rest of this agenda.
For your time frame?
Yeah. Rob, you can just chill for a second.
I'm probably 20 minutes, so you guys
yeah.
got to do whatever you
want to just... We want to go through the 2-week schedule real quick in like 2 seconds, and then your jurisdictional exchange conversation sounds interesting. And then the Waters Creek side is easy. The juvenile detention. Yeah, if we did the board calendar, that would be really good. And anything we need to do. Come on. Is there anything that jumps out, or
I
is there anything, Wendy, that we should be looking at?
No.
The next 2 weeks is actually pretty simple, as we're going to be up in Eugene for the annual AOC meeting.
The only day I'm going to have a conflict with meetings is going to be next Thursday, the 2nd. We're hosting our second. So both Monday and Thursday next week, we're hosting workshops with the Oregon Health Authority about the RFP projects and requirements for those interested in the community and bidding.
Okay.
So Thursday's one also is going to be an all-day thing.
Well, we'll have a quorum for the admin if you're busy, and then you said Monday, the next Monday?
No, Monday the 30th. So I don't. There's not a conflict there, except for there is a Checo Bar teleconference that I may not be able to take part in. I'm going to try to do both, but we'll see.
You're scheduled for the manager's meeting on Monday. Might be important to bring up the topic that John talked about as far as like coordinated efforts on projects. You're going to attend that?
Yep.
I'm not going to Portland for the Federal Forest Working Group meeting. Tim Freeman is going to go on behalf of the ONC Association. Susan Morgan will be the AOC delegate from the Public Lands Committee that I chair up there, so that's easy. That one's covered. But the housing one actually looks pretty comprehensive, and I think I've got some ideas that might apply. So.
So you're going to go up and try to do that other one? Cool.
I wasn't going to do both. That just seems too much. The other one's covered. The housing one is not. I'm not aware of
too much. Julie, I think, is going?
Yes, she is.
But I think it would be beneficial to...
Yeah, there's some other things, workshops and stuff, that we're going to divide and conquer. Commissioner DeYoung, anything?
I've got a... doctor's appointment on Wednesday the 9th, but it's in the morning, so I think we'll be all right because the weekly business session's in the afternoon.
Great.
I'll make sure that gets on there.
Okay. I think we've got everything covered then. I'm interested in the jurisdictional exchange conversation, so maybe we should do that one and then.
It's actually not the exciting one. Let's go with the city one. Good morning. So, yes, this would be the transfer to the city of roads that we talked about a month ago. It's been a month already, if you can believe that. So we're coming near the end of the 30-day hearing period. The one change we've had since last time was a road that moved from not to city standards to we all agreed that, yes, it was. So it basically reduces our annual payment by like $2,500. George tweet. So we're still basically turning over 3 miles to the city. The annual payment ends up being just under $25,000. And effectively takes all those roads off of our maintenance plate.
What do they get for the road miles from the new, not necessarily new formula, but for the road tax?
These
what does that
city?
Help them out? Yeah, as far as like adding 3 miles to their portfolio.
I'm not sure if they're funding. I think their funding is based on population. I'm almost certain.
So it isn't. Yeah.
Ours is based on vehicle registrations, but I believe the city's it wouldn't change the math for them picking up road miles.
Okay.
Which is part of the reason why we theoretically are paying the money to eventually put curb gutter sidewalk on those roads that don't have it.
But you said that payment is $25,000. Is that a year?
A year for each of seven years. Right.
For 7 consecutive years.
Right. And I would note that's the same number we've been paying for 20 years. And I did the numbers the first time around. And
I was gonna say that's
it's a reasonable
$1.75, and then we're done.
And now it's.
I said that's $1.75, $175,000, and then we're finished.
And at the time, that was...
Then it becomes theirs.
Right. And the original 9,000 a mile for each of 7 years, that was our initial offer, and it was accepted. So I like the agreement.
I think it's important that you guys start talking about the renewed IGA that needs to go through with the after the interim IGA expires and they get their infrastructure studies done and with the UGB up being updated.
Both entities will have TSPs done within the next 18 months probably. So... So that's where that one is at.
Okay.
And beyond that one, we'll probably be back to the next time around in 3, 4, 5 years again when there's another lot of those roads that are kind of in the urbanizing area that look more city than county.
Well, hopefully we have, you know, like some large, that Fruitdale one would be a really great one to get off the books.
Mm-hmm.
It's at least 2 miles, probably.
Probably, anyway.
Yeah, and it's deteriorating rapidly. Mm-hmm. The amount of traffic and the kind of traffic that's on that road is...
It needed that enhanced project
really,
4 years ago.
It did, and it's going to happen probably in the next queue, which means 20.
It'll be high on the list.
Yeah, it needs to happen.
For sure.
I don't want to put a bunch of money in an overlay or a chip seal project or something like that for a road they're going to tear up.
It's going to exactly.
And just destroy in a couple of years putting in better sidewalk.
Having to put a new base and everything else. Right.
Yeah, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But you guys have been doing a job of patching it and stuff and trying to keep ahead of
it. Limp it along until the full-blown happens. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so. Okay. I may be particularly conscious of that because it's the road I take to work every day.
You always notice it.
Exactly. I do notice that the increase in potholes, and I don't notice that on a lot of other roads.
I have a question for you that we can maybe get to afterwards so we don't get off topic.
Sure.
But I've heard that there, was it in the paper or on Facebook, they're looking at shutting down the Fruitdale connection to Williams Highway, that left turn.
Correct, yeah.
So that might be one to talk about.
City Council approved that already.
Is that why that might be one of the reasons why they're marking all that stuff up?
I don't know.
Why are they marking all over out there? What are they looking for?
I have not heard. Yeah, you mentioned it the other day.
The South Y is all marked up.
Yeah.
I don't know why. They're out there with surveying. The other thing I mentioned to Commissioner DeYoung was the fact that there are two, if you're heading, which would be north, up 7th Street from that Williams Highway 238.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go through that intersection, you take a right. Mm-hmm. There's a left-hand turn lane. There's a straight right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same. There's two lights up there that are delineating go straight, because there's a left-hand turn light.
Right.
Why are there two lights? There aren't two lanes, and it's misleading the idea that somebody could go, because there's only one lane of traffic
exactly.
to get going
yeah,
forward.
Like
it's a wrong. It's. I think that there's potential liability on ODOT because it's saying somebody, two somebodies get to go. And I was looking at all the other intersections, and none of them have a light that delineates to something that isn't a lane, a light to a lane. And there's two lights up there, and I was like, what is that about? Everybody seems to know what they're doing, but you can imagine somebody who's coming from wine country and wants
sure.
to get back on I-5 or something, thinks they need to go north and heading right into traffic.
Are we still calling it wine country? I just got it.
There's just an awful lot that doesn't make sense. Sometimes if you go come by this road, like you're going on to, like you're going to come around and hit. And
oh,
hit,
yeah.
Yeah. They put that new subdivision in there, but yet out, in they and then they redid all of Vilas coming around by the cemetery there. And there's their center turn lane that turns into a brick wall.
Yeah.
There's no, it's got the arrows there. And everything you're going to turn in, and it's a solid wall for that subdivision. There's never going to be a street there because there's a house there. But by golly, they've got the arrows and the turn lane and everything. It's kind of neat to see.
Go grind it off.
Yeah, bridge to nowhere.
So you said the other one's interesting? The contract for Waters Creek?
Oh, no, you just mentioned JX. The more interesting JX would be if it's ODOT.
Yeah,
this one's kind of a low bore.
I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay.
Commissioner DeYoung. Morning. At least I didn't say walk.
Safe travels.
Thanks. I'll see you guys this afternoon.
Anything more on the transfer to the city?
Hopefully
it's
you're okay.
Really straightforward.
Okay. Next one is the Waters Creek slide repair. This is the failure we had last winter. The eventual fix was determined to be going into the hillside was cheaper than trying to build it up from the stream. So put it out for bid. We only got one bid, unfortunately, but that's kind of the way some of these things are going right now. Everybody is busy, and this is one that will not wait another winter. So Timber Mountain was a low bidder, $110,000, which I would have believed anything from $75,000 to $200,000, frankly. That's one of those projects that you just don't really know until you get into, and I'm sure they had to bid it with some caveats and contingencies in there. So they're going to be moving ahead on that. Power's already been raised, so they don't get issues with their buckets getting in there. Neighbors have been notified. It's pretty well ready to go.
Is there any paperwork we need from the Harrises up there?
Already done. We got an easement from them. It's signed
okay.
in the books.
All right. That's yep. one because we're going to be cutting back into their hillside.
Yes.
So I was approached on this one because there's two pieces going. There's the repair and the widening, correct?
Widening is, yeah, really, really. I can touch on that too, sure.
Well, the question, I've been told that notifications went out about the repairs,
yes.
but not about the widening.
Right, because the widening, we haven't even applied for that potential funding yet. There's a citizen out there that's concerned, and she's been discussing with her citizens stuff that's like seven steps too early, preemptive. We haven't even applied yet for the funding. Don't even know if we get it, so it's... the cart's before the horse, before the road even exists.
Okay.
Yeah. But I've sent a letter to the petitioners, to Federal Lands, to everybody else. I sent something to you, Commissioner. I can certainly give you a copy of the letter I sent them back if you want a little more backstory as to how we got there.
I'm just finding that the inundations of attempts at contact, and what I've tried to do is say, look, I can't have that because of public meeting law, daisy chain meetings.
Yep.
And yet I still had somebody come up at Rudy and say, hey, but they didn't get notifications. Whoa, wait a second. You know,
yeah,
so
there's nothing to notify. A short version is we are looking at the possibility of applying for a FLAP. That's the roads that access a lot of federal lands as a potential fix to make that one-lane section two. Probably a $2 million project, partly because it just gives more access. And when you have failures like this, you've got more leeway to get up there. The other reality is we've had two failures already that have been about $150,000 each. There's another one we're watching. It's probably going to be $300,000. So if we could potentially get federal money at 90 cents on the dollar, I need to look at that. If we were granted that money, then there's a full-blown process where all these agencies come down on-site and look. The citizens would have the time to input everything else. We could even still have the money to say, hey, here's the award. And if we said, you know what, we don't want to take any of that. We want to take a reduced amount, maybe not do this section that they're concerned about. That stuff would all be on the table. But what I told them in the letter was that I at least need to apply to find out if that option is there, and we can then turn down the money if we get the offer.
Okay.
So, but yeah, and unrelated to the fix, that just kind of got us thinking, hey, that's a road that qualifies. We've got about 12 that would qualify. Let's see if the feds are interested. And the Forest Service has said that would be their top priority road in the district to get.
I've had numerous conversations with the one person up there that's really concerned about it, and explained to her that she would have her day when if we were to get a grant to fix that she'd have her input time.
Yeah. I need to look. It is without exaggeration the most expensive 0.2 mile of road that we maintain in this county. And if you look at it from an ADT, it's probably the most expensive by a factor of 3 or 4. It's mind-boggling. So, yeah, I at least need to know if that federal money is out there to maybe make this problem less. So the Waters Creek, and if you two are willing, I would love to get signatures today just so we can cut him loose on Monday to get going before we get weather. But if it needs to go to business,
okay, session,
I get that too.
Do I need a motion on that?
Yes. I make a motion that we approve the contract for Waters Creek Slide Period Project number 3670, Slide 17.
I'll second that. Any other comments?
Nope.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hi. Did you bring that contract with you?
I did. Perfect. Actually, you guys have the original. I have a copy.
Okay.
I think you've got one of the two, right? How about that? Okay.
We'll sign it next week for you.
Jake will move
when
on
we
that.
Find it.
Jake will start on a board, yeah, I think. Okay. Next thing
when
I had.
On that contract, yeah. When are they going to get started on that? Right away?
Monday is the whole.
Okay,
sure. Yeah, assuming we got out of here.
Winter's on its way.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And it just, we'll take it when we can get it. He's got a couple jobs going for us right now, and a couple of those we talked to couldn't touch it until February. We said, nah, we got to go. Okay. Now, next, I had it on here. I was going to, or I can talk about where we're at with the Public Works Review. Commissioner Harris is not here, but obviously we can step through that, and I can tell him the same story next time he's around. Yeah, proceed.
Okay. I'm waiting for it. So.
Okay. So effectively, the review had 64 things to look at. Of those, 21 that they considered priority one. So just to give you a quick update on where we're at with those, we've probably got 7 of those 24 priority ones that have been taken care of, another 12 that we're in process with. The biggest piece we were waiting for, honestly, was to get that additional funding with the state package that came through. Now we're actually able to say, all right, here's things we can start to look at and approach and attack and fix. So what I'll do, I'll give you this. This is every year we kind of do a 5-year pro forma budget. I went ahead and pushed this thing
out.
More?
Yeah,
I got another one. Actually, I'm for silent too. I go through this exercise every year. Ori updates it throughout the year just to see where we're at. So a lot of information here. I'll try to keep it 3,000 feet. So I left the 06-07 budget there on the left-hand column, and I'll come back to that. It's kind of interesting. So the top line there, that's our historical state highway fund, which is gas tax, title, and registration. The green line is the proposed or the projected revenue with the House bill that was recently passed. It gives you a bit of a sense of how much additional buying power that gets us. And as you work your way down that list, you know, the only other thing that really you'll see some change on is that miscellaneous revenues. You'll see a couple of larger numbers. That's our Sand Creek payment through the state. So really that's just a money in, money out, but that's where we had to book that. The rest of that money is our exchange money that we get each year. So more interestingly, on the bottom half there, you can see what we're projecting this will do for the department. We were projected to be at about 51 FTEs, and we had that dwindling down further had this bill not passed. Instead, that's going to allow us to backfill some of the positions we've lost the last 10 years to get our maintenance level up, primarily chip sealing, chipping, culvert repair, that sort of thing. So you can see that by the 2021 budget, we're looking at having 10 of those positions backfilled. That would be 8 operations and likely an inspector position and another Tech 3 design type position. So the other big thing that this does, like I mentioned, was the chip seal. So what I've done is you see two lines here, the chip seal line that kind of alternates between 100,000 and 300,000. That was our current program where we're basically doing 25 miles every other year. So one year we chip seal, the next year we stockpile and have all the materials ready. The blue line below it that says historically needed, that gets us back up to 35 miles a year. So the numbers there look like they're kind of offset with the chip seal above, but really if you add those up, that shows us doing 35 miles every year. I just wanted to show what the additional annual increase in chip seal would be. So it kind of starts at a, you know, a ballpark total of 525,000 there next year, ramping up by about 25,000 a year, which is just we're assuming some material cost increase.
Going back to personal services.
Yes, sir.
We are going from 16-17. When you add those 10 employees, you're adding $1.6 million, and you're bringing in $2 million from the state and new state highway funds. So you're using just about all of your addition, not for materials and so on and so forth, but using it all for labor.
Which is kind of the opposite of what that study recommended.
Well, no, that's actually not what's happening, though. Okay, so...
Well, by the numbers, that's what I'm going. I'm going from 3 million 6 to 5 million 2, so that's $1.6 million additional in
right.
And wages.
I'll tell you why it's not. So if you look at the 17-18 budget, 4.228 million, that's what we have to budget. Our actual personal services typically come in about $400,000 below budget between folks leaving in the middle of the year, we have to budget in certain step increases, those kinds of things. So that narrows it down a fair amount. The other thing I need to account for in there is about $100,000 a year of additional just personnel costs from health insurance, step increases, PERS, all that other stuff. Our basic bigger picture of those positions I'm adding average about $70,000 a year full load. So that's, you know, wages, fringe benefits, all that stuff. So we're adding eventually 10 positions. So that's about $700,000 of what ends up being about a $2.3 million increase.
Okay.
The other big piece that we'd be looking to add then is the medium and major culvert repair. That's the other blue line there. And at this point, we show it straight lined at $150,000 a year. My guess is we're going to have more of that on the front end. I could see us repairing more like 2 or 3 or 4 of those the first couple years till we get caught up and then dwindling back. It's just at this point I want more of a placeholder to say, I think we're going to spend about $1.5 million more over that time period on culvert repair. Getting down to the bottom, then the other thing you'll see is this does get our reserves up some additional amount. We're right about $6 million there. By the end of this, that shows that about almost 8, which gives us a bit more cushion, as was recommended in the study, and that's honestly where I would prefer to be anyway, with you know, the potential for a Cascadia, major flood, whatever. We get down to that $4-6 million a year in the bank, that gets me nervous. The one other thing I would point out that's interesting, taking that last number then, the 2016-17, putting that back in 2007 dollars, just using a conservative 2.5% of your inflation, that $10.5 million in revenue is actually closer to $6.5 million. So we're actually not even where we were back in 06, 07. It just kind of underscores how much that O&C payment meant to us back in the day. It was, you know, pushing $2 million 10 years ago already. It was that was a big blow to us and the rest of the county. So the bill that was passed is great. Again, it still didn't offset the impact of the ONC, and obviously the general fund didn't even have anything like that to offset. It was, you can't really understate what a loss that was.
I guess from my standpoint, this isn't what I was expecting today. I was expecting us to go through those 64 lists and see where are we at, what are the time frames, what are recommended time frames on the whole thing.
My
hearing that 7 are done and 11 are coming doesn't tell me anything.
Right. So let me. That's my next point. So the next, my intent will be to just send that as a report. You guys look at that, give it a week to digest, because I think that's going to be a probably an hour discussion or more. I wouldn't want to give it to you cold. We sit there and flip through the thing. So, yeah, my intent the next week or two is to give you an update to show you where we are on those priority items. I can come back and we can do another update to say here if you have questions or follow-ups. But it seemed to me that, yeah, it's a long report that's cranking out. We can add as many attachments as you want in terms of do you want to see our actual cohort prioritization schedule or do you want to see an executive summary. But, yeah, my thought is to give you that report. Give you a week to digest it and then go through it.
Well, I mean, I guess what it comes down to is we're at the end of October. That mm-hmm. came out several months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that we would have an idea of where we're going with it and what is a recommended course of plan,
mm-hmm.
not, hey, we got it done. Not that we don't want to get it done, but just to be intentional about a plan for it because, quite frankly, it's a policy decision. I mean, at some level, it's an administrative function as well, but there was a recommendation done. You interpret that recommendation, make a recommendation back to us, and we give the blessing on, yeah, we agree with that prioritization. And so without kind of seeing what the recommended plan is, we aren't weighing in on something that we should be.
Well, I think it's going to depend on the recommendation. Do you have a recommendation, for example, they say to go use thermoplastic instead of striping. Are you wanting the board to weigh in on which version we should go for that, or are there certain things you want to just trust that my knowledge as the director and running a department that we are just going to say, here's what we're doing.
I'm expecting a report from you that itemizes each of those things and say what your response and thoughts are on each of them.
Okay.
And we have a chance to give that feedback.
And like I said, that's my intent. I'm
because
going to give you a report showing that. I just didn't want to hand it to you today. So we're all
I was told that's what we were getting today. So when I had asked about what was coming up, that's what I was expecting today, is that you had been asked to get that ready for us and that it was going to be ready today. So I'm just letting you know that that's what my expectation was.
Fair enough.
And then the expectation moving forward isn't, hey, we got those done. We got these.
That's not my intent at all. I do not have a response to all 64 of those items at this point sitting here today. That's true.
Okay.
One of the things our concern is that Commissioner Morgan and I both come from watching audit after audit after audit over in the city side,
mm-hmm.
and we get the results of the audit. You pay really good money to get the audits and the studies and everything done, and then nothing happens.
And they go on a shelf.
And they just go on the shelf. So we cross that hurdle when, you know, and I'm sure that some of the things that they recommend probably don't fit our model.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine, but those are the ones we need to know and the reason why they don't fit our
mm-hmm.
model.
Well, the ones that do and the ones that don't, but quite frankly, this is part of outside accountability for every department that we have, and this is part of our accountability with the public,
mm-hmm.
is that it's not just a department head that is going to go down on a path and doesn't change a direction, even when there's feedback to the contrary. And I do know you have experience and expertise, mm-hmm. and that's why you're the one coming back to us and saying, here's the 64 recommendations, and here's how I think we should prioritize and make those recommendations
mm-hmm.
and why, and we have that discussion. But just to say we get it and you guys go, no, that's not the point.
That's not my intent.
And another thing that I fully understand is that part of these things, part of the recommendations had to do with fleet, and we've just got a new fleet manager
mm-hmm.
on board. I want him to have adequate time to see what his feedback is on those mm-hmm. aspects mm-hmm. of the report.
He's got his in hand, actually. He was in town a week and a half ago, and he's got them. He's actually started looking at those as well.
Okay.
When do we
want to report back?
I can give you everything but fleet probably within a week. I don't want to speak for Ted before he gets here because
that would be fair to him
more. Right, and he's got
because he's being brought on board. He's probably got some ideas to say, yeah, I went through this in my last place.
I told you it was kind of funny. When I gave him his, he looked at it for about a minute and a half. He says, I've seen a dozen of these. These are all boilerplate. There is a bit of that that goes on, and that's okay.
But from that standpoint, maybe it's boilerplate because it's the same problem with public works all over the nation.
Could be.
Those are all things mm-hmm. that really do need to be addressed,
mm-hmm.
and that's what, like I say, not frustration. It's our concern is that this thing doesn't go the way it historically has gone. In my short experience with government, is that you know, okay, we've checked that box and we've gone through that. Okay, now they're off of my hair, out of my hair for a while, and all this business as usual. And that isn't what we have the study for, because we want public works to be the very best public work can be for the county, for the citizens of the county, and that's why these suggestions come up. A lot of times, you know, we're so close to it, it takes outside eyes to look at one.
And that's not my intent. I would just ask that you don't paint me with prior experience.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
Well, yes and no.
Prove me wrong.
I appreciate you say don't paint us with prior experience. It's but at the same time, you learn from your experiences, and it gives you an idea of what to be aware of and different things. So we're going to have a conversation. We're going to go through those things. But because of Eyes Wide Open, because of our past experience with audits, we want to have those conversations. Mm-hmm. We've learned not to just trust giving them a department head going forward. So as I appreciate you say that, that's also not a fair thing to ask of us. So what I do know is we'll be open, we'll have good conversation, and we'll go from there, because that's how this works. But just to say, hey, trust me, I got it.
That's not what I'm doing. I'm asking you to come into this with a blank slate.
That's why
the start is, you get the 64, and you're making compiling a list of this is my recommendations and responses, and we're going to go through those 64 and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I'm saying is,
we just want everybody to understand, too, that audit has a real bad name to it, because everybody thinks of the IRS. I look at audits as an opportunity for us to give you the tools you need to do the job we're going to ask of you.
Right, right.
And make sure that you know, we can go to bat for you when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's justified and so on and so forth. So
mm-hmm.
don't look at this audit as it's a hatchet job, because it's not.
It's a performance review. It's set on the front page, right?
Yeah, performance review. Thank you.
You may have a little bit more time. I'm looking. I mean, if you get it to us by the 2nd on the 9th, I don't know if that's the day that Commissioner Harris said he was going to be here or not going to be here. And if your appointment's on the 8th or the 9th. So potentially we could have you present on it on the 9th, which gave us a week. You get it to us by the 2nd. We have a week to digest it.
And like I said, that would not include Fleet, because his first day is Monday,
right,
the 30th.
Yeah. Leave Fleet out of it for right now.
Okay, and then otherwise we can put it off till the 30th and kind of just see, because we got AOC, we got Thanksgiving, you know, that kind of just reality.
I get it too. You got a couple weeks to digest.
But it would be nice to have it before we have the discussion, so we've had time to kind of look through, as you said, and
you can decide
make notes, and we
can
have talking
mess
points.
With or not mess with. Yep, you want more info on whatever.
So if you got it to us by the 9th, then we could look at it again on the 30th. That gives us 3 weeks to look at.
And by the 9th, Ted's got a week and a half, and he may even have some input on his.
They have a little bit of input or whatever. Nothing required. But he's got it. We're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else in your quarterly update?
Give you some quick stuff out in the field. Parker Lane Bridge repair has started. They had to do some additional lead testing, but he's going to start the heavy lifting on Monday. Once that's done, I'm going to be coming back to the board with a recommendation that we make that local access, because there's technically no houses or businesses to take formal access off of it. They all take it off Deer Creek. Pansy Lane, this is the project finishing up out there at the BMX track where we did the intersection. They've got some drainage issues, so we've got surveying done. We're doing some potholing. We're going to get out there and get a drainage in that takes it east into Allen Creek there. We're working on a project with Avista. I think you know a bit about this one. They approached us with a new corporate policy that they want their mains to have 10 feet clear both sides of major vegetation. Theory being that if the wind knocks a tree over, it pops the roots, off we go. So they've got a stretch of main that kind of runs through Colonial Valley up to Louse Creek and back down Granite Hill into town. All county roads that we would chip eventually anyway, so they basically said, we will pay to have you chip those a bit more aggressively. So they've got $75,000 available this year, maybe a comparable one next year. We would be doing probably 60 to 70% of that work anyway ourselves. It's more aggressive than we would go, but I think that we're realizing probably 60% of that is just straight out granted effectively.
Make sure your desk people understand what, because they're going to get questions that call in as they
Avista takes them all.
Oh, they do?
They've already made contact. They only have two neighbors that kind of said, I don't know about that. So they've already said they will take all
they
of the
go out there and start blading on somebody's property, and now we're going to just chip seal right on up to your fence. They're going to be, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Okay, as long as they're going to handle it.
The Lakeshore Bridge replacements within a day or two of on schedule, so shooting for end of November. And we're looking at actually seeing if we can get a bit more of the spillway redone as well that wasn't initially under contract, but we're just recommending to Sarah and Parks that they go ahead and do the whole spillway while the gang is out there. So the concrete trucks there, you might as well do some additional. The Galise flat project, that's the other flat project we have going. They're going to be on site in about 2 or 3 weeks to be out there looking at guardrail positioning and all that. We'll hopefully let that next summer. Most of the guardrail work we'll send out, but our crews can do the, you know, the striping, the signing, taking down the weigh station, that kind of thing. The Redwood School crosswalk, just wanted to note that one project we just finished up. It was a smaller one, but it was a nice combo with the school district and the city Grants Pass. This was to put in rapid flashing beacon and ADA ramps out there in front of Redwood and the no parking strip that you guys signed off on. Right, right. Sounds like it's working great. It's definitely helped that visibility issue they have with the crossing out there.
Their idea, they own it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And it was a cheap fix for everybody, so that was good. North Applegate Culvert got done. That was Robco. That was just out there by Nobles, almost at County Line. Came in at $49,000. Everything seems to be tamped down and moving smoothly. And then my other side job as fleet manager is hopefully done. We've had gotten 6 vehicles purchased in the last couple weeks. 2 new Tahoes for Sheriff, a Cherokee for Building Safety, and 1 for Corrections, and 2 15-passenger vans, 1 for Juvenile Justice, 1 for Community Corrections. I was pretty happy with the prices on all of them. They were all where we budgeted, if not a couple thousand less. So should be a good fit. The first of those start rolling in first week of January, second week of January. So,
okay.
Yep, that'll be good. I think that's the big stuff.
Okie dokie.
All right. Keep in mind on the radar at some point in time, I can almost see the writing on the wall for Storm and GPID, IGA of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in the back of your mind.
Is there just one?
Are they about done over across the alley? Maybe.
Well, I would like us to go in a little bit more with our eyes wide open than the other entity did. And I'll be looking for your guidance on that.
And there's no right answer.
There's no right answer.
How much?
That's what I mean. But we did establish a formula, and I'm thinking of something that we need to have basically a formula. You've got to have some numbers. They've got to have some numbers, and go from there.
Right.
But it's something that I don't think we don't have the impact that our friends to the north did.
No.
We aren't going to have near that impact.
I'm not convinced we do. If we're coming trying to decide who owes who what, I'm not sure we owe
exactly.
That. It might be the other way.
It might be the other way. But going into it, I want us to go into it with both eyes wide open.
Mm-hmm. How far out are they with the city from having a number?
I don't. We've already had that discussion over there.
Yeah.
And now and the mayor vetoed it.
Right.
The two governing bodies were in full agreement, and the mayor shot it down. So.
Right.
That's the ball's in their court,
and
I, you know, I'm out of it. So other than the fact that if it ever did get, does go to trial, I'll have to testify. But other than that, you know, I don't know where they stand over there.
Settle it down at the Powder Horn.
Yeah, I could probably, you know, ask the waitress at the Powder Horn. She'd be able to tell me. Yeah, the numbers right. Oh, yeah, didn't you know that?
Close enough. Okay. That's it.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right, next we have juvenile detention control system upgrade. I assume that's, I'm wrong, it's not facilities.
Well, yeah, Ryan's here for our edification and purpose of details of the contract. So what we have is the vendor, and as you know, Ryan's been working on this for a couple months now, at least, the vendor who is upgrading the control panel at the adult jail. We're asking them to also update the control panel at juvenile, which was installed, 20 years ago?
Yes.
So technology has moved forward since 20 years ago, so it needs a major replacement, basically, major overhaul, major upgrade. The contract came in on Monday. We got it on the Ryan came over yesterday or Tuesday and discussed it, and I got it on the schedule as quick as I could. So if it seems a little
a little fast.
Can we approve it already?
That.
No.
Yeah, I that's what I would ask for today, is that that the contract be approved. Whether you want to just verbally vote yay and then have the chair sign it as the facilities liaison, or
that would
give us the numbers.
Yeah, it's 126, I believe, and it doesn't include the camera or intercom piece. This is just the integration, the door controls, and
why were we waiting on the camera and the intercom?
We're still waiting to get prices back.
Okay,
but it would be part of the project.
It'll be an additional charge.
Like an add-on.
Yes, it'll be an add-on. Yes,
but this is an urgent need.
I anticipate.
Well, sure. I mean, if we're going to do this to one, we should do it to both of them.
Yeah, yeah. And I know Jim is definitely looking forward to upgrading those cameras. You know, they got a lot of blind spots over there.
It's actually a safety concern, and we're trying to get it addressed before the facility opens back up
Absolutely.
In January.
Yeah, and we got they're estimating a 3-month timeline.
Really?
Yeah, and so we are pushing it right up, right there. So. Talked to Jim, and he said, you know, if it's going to be close, he'll bump it back a couple weeks on his end. But we'll still have enough done that they can get in there with staff, new staff, train, and so forth. And we're hoping that the 3 months is giving them some cushion. So we're going to work with them as much as possible to shorten that up. So, a lot of busy contractors right now, so trying to get them in is...
I know it is urgent. Yeah. It is one of those things that Jim has been concerned about, how long it's going to take these upgrades to get
out. Well, I can foresee after the first of the year the cannabis industry transferring over with surveillance cameras and things like that to be legalized.
Yeah.
You probably, after the first year, you may not ever get. It may be 6 months or a year waiting list.
Yeah, and even now, it's a little unbelievable. We're not even getting calls back. You know, and the ones that we do talk to are telling us, you know, we're turning down $1 million jobs, and you know, so we got $126,000
$1 million cash jobs.
Yeah, exactly. And we want a bid. We have to get a bid up front, where they're doing work for people that are just saying, how much, you know, do I owe you? They're waiting till they're done and write them a check. They don't need to know how much up front. So.
And I think the existing camera system is not functional. The existing control panels and the monitors are not functional, so they need to be replaced.
Out of film.
Yeah. Toggle switches. Yeah.
The CRT tubes are just...
Yeah, the OZ4 tube. Yeah. Does it warm up anymore?
So, okay. Okay, well, that's...
My apologies. There's somebody at my front door. And I didn't know that was going to not be muted. Sorry.
Amazon
is pretty slick.
Go on in. Put the package on the counter. No big deal. You have the key. It's got to be your nephew or your niece or one of your cousins.
And my grandma.
And your grandma.
My nephew and my grandma, yeah. Why, when they have a key to my house, I don't know why they would ring my doorbell, but that's okay. Okay, so you're not asking us to sign it today. But you are asking for a verbal to go ahead?
I
don't know that we can.
It only has one signature block on it, so we'd have to...
So just a liaison.
So my thinking is, that you would...
Well, no, technically, he's not be here. It would be...
Yeah.
If he, and not in his place, you would designate me to sign because he's not here.
Oh, okay.
If you're needing a signature, he's not here.
And you said it was 126
today.
He'll be back this afternoon.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But
so what is that? Does it? Is it a certain amount that has to go to the whole board if it's over 50,000?
What we're doing here today.
Yeah. So that way everybody's on the same page, and I anticipate the additional camera and intercom work will probably match this number as well. But I'll bring that back before we go on. So
we'll need to get that going right away as well.
Yes.
Your thoughts?
Any favor? That's good. Let's go with it. If we're going to get open, if we're going to try to be open to Jim's schedule, we're already going to be pushing.
I'd entertain a motion for the authorization of the signing of the contract by the chair and liaison.
Yes.
Yes. I make that motion.
Whatever she said. Any further discussion?
No.
Seeing none, will you call the roll?
Commissioner Deal.
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan.
Yes. And the motion carries 2-0 since we're the only ones here. So, yeah, we'll Commissioner Hare will be back this afternoon.
I'll follow up with Commissioner Hare.
Tell him we threw him under the bus and he can sign.
Yes. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Great.
Great.
Good job on the. We all like the.
Do you like the
Yeah, I kind of like that with the kind of the meandering. Do you see the layout out here on the pathway?
Yes, I assume it's just the beginning of more to come.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yes, we're doing a lot of juggling these days.
Yeah.
I did have one thought as we were laying these down, and the thought was to go too high.
Too high?
I know I'm getting off subject. But I envisioned people sitting on that wall all the way down once we get it completed.
Mm.
So I kind of stopped where I was. And
yes.
Can we just go to
not
one?
Not creating what we just took out?
Yes. I'm like, oh, man.
Let's just go to one.
That's what I'm wondering, if we just leave the one.
Let's go to one.
See how it does. You know, we'll just taper the dirt.
Taper the dirt. That's
see what it looks like.
You're right, because if you put two, they're going to sit on it.
Yeah. And then we
three, they'll sleep on it.
Yeah. So I either
or they'll
go,
take it home with
them. I either go two or three, and then I come back and I put, you know, a little short wrought iron piece on top, or I just stay with one and see how it goes.
We're getting some kickback from, you know, people. Well, that's all they're doing. They're moving in front of the ambassador. And I think, well, I won't go out there. Why are you hanging out in front of a government building? You think that we're just going to...
A closed government building.
Why do you do that? Why aren't you going somewhere else? Why is it you want to hang out? There's no food cart that comes by here or anything. Yeah. Why do you feel compelled that, I guess you think that, and they do it in Medford, too. I'm not saying they don't do it in Medford. So I went to the when they... Governor was there about a month ago. Councilor Riker and I went over. And sure enough, you know, here they were in their little park that they had there at the courthouse. And gosh, they were just all over the place and shopping carts and baskets and stuff everywhere. I don't get it. Why there?
Well, I think half of them rattled the door hoping there's going to be a bathroom inside. So,
you know, that might be it. That may be the answer.
And then when they find out that one's not open, they come down into our courthouse basement and shower in our public bathrooms.
We have showers downstairs?
They make showers out of our sinks. So, yeah, that's a real problem. It's every other day at least. So we send a guy down to clean up the water and the filth and
the
feces.
The one here in the bottom of this building?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had a problem with someone down there that also ripped the paper towel dispenser off the wall and was causing a disturbance.
Yeah, took the motor out of it and chewed on the doorstop.
That's my boy.
Yeah, we've never had to replace a doorstop because it got half eaten. But you know,
oh, my gosh.
So we get all kinds.
Crazy world we're living.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if there was anything, and I don't know what. We could. It's a frustration to me that Redpath doesn't have a loitering law or vagrancy law. They don't have it, and I don't get it.
Yeah, it would be nice to have.
So I know legal is looking at some options that we can do with Andesco. Oh,
great, that would be great.
All right. So any other financial?
I did want to just say that we had the biweekly payroll. Our first paycheck was on Tuesday, the 24th. I think it went exceptionally well. The staff did, between my staff and HR, a great job transferring all the information over to a biweekly process. Everybody got paid, no substantive issues. There were several folks that we talked with, and all of us talked with, that were just needed to be talked through what was going on and what happened, and they have their check in their hand, and you know, how is this working? And so there were several of those types of conversations we had. But all in all, exceptionally well. So no issues, no lingering issues, no major snafus or anything. So it went very well. And that is what I'm bringing. Any questions for me?
Not for me.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is other business. If there is no other business, we move on to board business. We've already reviewed the calendar, and now we're matters from commissioners.
I don't have anything at this time. Oh, I did meet with Representative Wilson yesterday for about an hour on our business license issue.
Okay.
He was on board. after we discuss some of the amendments on our text amendments for the cannabis industry, and he was on board with it after that. And so I'm looking forward to that, getting that thing put to bed shortly. I hope we can come to agreement on that and get that thing off our plate. Personally, I'm tired of listening to it. I want to just get something going, and I think we're close on it.
I hear you. All right, seeing nothing else, we will be adjourned at 10:14.